Well, Merry Christmas. Your proper response to that is Merry Christmas, yes. We're still in the Christmas season. And as Christians, we need to embrace that. You see, the world told us that Christmas started at Halloween, right? Because that's when Walmart started putting stuff out. Halloween decorations were done. Walmart started loading up the Christmas decorations. Said this is the start of Christmas. And about a day later, Sirius XM started 14 all Christmas music channels 24 hours a day. But Christmas started at sundown December 24th. It starts on the day that we've set aside for the birth, to celebrate the birth of Christ. And it lasts for a season of 12 days. And so we're in the midst of that season right now. And I say that because, I think it's important that Christians make sure that we understand that and we embrace that there are seasons to the year. We are blessed to be a part of a liturgical church. What does that mean? Well, it means that our liturgy throughout any given year always points to the story of Jesus Christ being revealed. It always points to the story of our redemption through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you think about what we might call the secular calendar, it lays here, and we lay our church calendar right on top of that. And so New Year's Eve, of course, is on the secular calendar, and we're not going to deny that. We're going to say Happy New Year to one another. But we're also going to recognize that laying on top of that is this liturgical season of Christmas. Christmastide, as it was referred to in that hymn we just sang. I saw a meme this week on Facebook that kind of made me giggle. It was put up by somebody I went to high school with. And I'm going to take a moment to digress, as I didn't take my medicine and I'm easily distracted today. Mimi's with us. Mimi and I went to high school together. She's a couple years older than me. But she is actually one of the founding members of Good Shepherd. She comes to us from St. John's or Bethany? Which one? St. John's Church. And her and her family were part of the two churches that came together to form Good Shepherd. And she's been away and living out of town and such. And she's back in the area and is back worshiping with us. And she told me before to start a service today that she has a New Year's resolution. She wants to be back as a part of the worship that goes on here at Good Shepherd. So that's wonderful news. Thank you for being with us, Mimi. So where was I digressing before I digressed into that? We have this wonderful calendar of the church, and it points us to Jesus. Each and every one of the seasons that we go through points us to Jesus. And I know where I was going. There was this wonderful meme I saw on Facebook posted by somebody I went to high school with. It's like Groundhog's Day. I'm starting that one all over again, huh? And what it said was, we were in such a rush to grow up and get older. That hasn't worked out so well. But if you think about it, that's how we live our lives, isn't it? I mean, I've got a 15-year-old, and she thinks she's 25, and she wants to be 25. Everybody's in a rush to get through every season of their life. And God says, oh, whoa, just slow down. I'm giving you 12 full days to celebrate the nativity of the Lord. Take them. Celebrate it. I'm giving you a full 40 days in Lent to just slow down, to calm down, to think about repentance, to think about the greatest day in human history when we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Why? Because that's part of our liturgical calendar. We're going to go through Lent, and it's going to point us toward Easter and the risen Lord, the greatest gift, the greatest day in human history. We'll celebrate Easter for how long? 12 days? 40 days? No, a full 50 days. So God has given us, through the gift of the church, the gift of this liturgical calendar. And I say that because I think sometimes we get so caught up in that the Christmas story is just about Jesus is born in a manger, and some shepherds were told about it, and they showed up. And then, the wise men, they showed up. And then a little drummer boy, he showed up. And, of course, that's not in the Bible. But you can laugh at that. Come on, people, we got to wake up today. But these stories are important because they all point to Christ. And all too often, we miss an Advent. We want to get through to Christmas so quickly. We miss those beautiful Advent stories. If you remember the one early on in Advent where John the Baptist is being proclaimed as he's going to be coming, and he's going to prepare the way. We even had that on our altar frontal, prepare the way, right? And we heard the story about his dad who was a priest in the temple, and his mom, who is Elizabeth, who is a cousin to Mary. We hear those stories about how God has promised them something, and he's going to deliver on that promise, and he does. But we oftentimes, we want to get to Christmas, we throw that story aside. And it's so powerful because it's about promises that God is making to his people, and we are his people now because we're in Christ Jesus. And that's the story today, this Christmas story we hear about Jesus being presented at the temple. It's about the fulfillment of promises. This book is filled with promises, but we can't take advantage of them if we don't know what they are. That's why it's so important that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, to put that Word in us so we know those promises and we can tap into them. That was promises today. Did you hear those characters? One of them was an old man. What was his name? You remember? Simeon. Simeon is an old man, and he has been made a promise. The Holy Spirit made a promise to him that he would not die in this earthly life until he saw the Messiah. And he gives us that beautiful prayer, and we've used this prayer in our evening prayer sometimes on Thursday night. And if you're one of the people who does a daily office, you'll often see Simeon's song, the song of Simeon, or the canticle of Simeon, included in evening prayer. And it's beautiful. It says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, there's that word, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Simeon's old and he's tired, and he wants to lay down his physical life to go home to heaven to be with the Lord. I know a lot of us feel like that sometimes after the holidays, but we'll get our energy back and we'll be okay. But he's ready. He says, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. All nations, that's the promise. Catch this. He says, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. See, that's us. We weren't born into the Jewish faith. And the glory of your people, Israel. It's a promise coming to fulfillment. It's all nations. It's the Jews and it's the Gentiles that Jesus came for. And then we have that story of the second character that we hear about today. What was her name? Anna. And what's her title in the Bible? She's a prophet, right? She's a prophet. And she also is very old, and according to this story, she is widowed. And this is interesting because if you look around today, I mean, it's the Sunday after Christmas, and we know historically a lot of people just, they take that Sunday off. Kind of like they take that Sunday off after Easter. Kind of like they take that Sunday off before Mardi Gras. You know how it is, it's a light crowd. But Anna should be a model for all of us, and I suspect that she is for you because you're here this morning. What does it say about her? It says, she never left the temple, but she worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. She is a worshiper. What a beautiful picture in this story. And what does God do to those who worship him? He fulfills promises. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child and all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. We have this older fellow representing the law, this older lady representing the prophets. The law and the prophets coming together doing what? They're pointing. What are they pointing to? They're pointing to the good news of Jesus Christ, the salvation that comes to the world. And as we head forward into this season, which we're going to cap off on January the 6th with what liturgical holiday? The Epiphany, also known as King's Day, right? And that's in New Orleans. It has cultural meaning because we're going to start eating our king cakes then. Of course, we've already started those. Who are we kidding? We want to rush those seasons, right? And that's another promise fulfilled, isn't it? It represents those three magi. Well, we think there's more than this plural. We get the three because of the song, We Three Kings. But let's pretend for a moment there really are just three of them. What do they represent? They're traveling from the east. They represent the fulfillment again of Christ coming to all the world. This Christmas gift, not just for the Jews, but for the entire world, the connecting of East and West, the connecting of the entire globe, the whole world being reconciled to God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, who is the reason for this season, who is the greatest gift that any of us could ever receive. And that's what the gospel's about. It's about the good news of Jesus Christ, this Christmas season and all the seasons to come. And it's good news, my brothers and sisters. To receive it this morning, I invite you to say amen. 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 Hey, let's rise together. Let's profess our faith as it's been handed to us by the ancient creed.